is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, Why God Chose You, His Plan for Your Life. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Cody Johnson with In the Garden, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God disclosed. He tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
I stay in the garden with him, though the night be falling bids me go through the voice of woe, His voice to me is calling, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Well, today could be your very, very fortunate day. Fortunate, not lucky, but fortunate. We'll talk about the difference maybe between those two words. But here's what I want you to know today. That God has chosen you. And He has a plan for your life. Think about that. You know, when you think about that, God has chosen you. And He has a plan for your life. When you think about that, well, it makes everything else dwindle into significance. Insignificance, I should say. I want you to think a little bit about that. I can't be too sparing of words there. Why did God choose you? And what is His plan for your life? You know, a few years ago, the pastor of Saddleback Community Church, Rick Warren, California, did a book. It was all about the plan that God had for your life. And, you know, you had to use the book, I guess, to figure out what God had planned for your life. Well, you know, it wasn't that I was against the book, but I read the book and I realized that it really sort of had the wrong concept to it. I'm sure Pastor Warren tried his best. But it's not so difficult to just figure out why God chose you and His plan for your life. You know, you're really one of God's chosen people. You've been chosen from the foundation of the world. Think about that. Before you were ever born, God chose you. You know, in Isaiah, the prophet says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." That was, you know, I mean, we read in the Old Testament, God says, "Who will go for us? Whom can we send?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." I like that. He was willing and able to go. He didn't know especially what God wanted, but he said, here am I, Lord, send me. Now, if you're chosen, you are His seed. Now, get that? You're the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3, verse 29 tells us that we inherit the promise of glory and life eternal in victory and contentment if you are chosen. You are His seed. John 3:3 and John 6, verse 66 are also significant, because John 3:3 talks about being born again in spirit and in truth. And John 6:66, well, that's a very interesting verse. I always talked about that. John 6, verse 66. You'll have to read it for yourself, though. It's too powerful.
because in it we have, my goodness, it's just amazing. You know, if we get to John chapter 6, we stop at verse 44, where it says, "No man can come to me," this is Jesus speaking, "no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Wow. Isn't that something? And verse 47 says, "Verily, verily," that means truthfully, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." I don't see any quibbling words there. There's no words to get out of it. Jesus, you promised. You promised. Now you have to keep your promise. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, but you made a promise. You drew me to you, and now you've got to keep me. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." He will have everlasting life. Have you ever believed in Jesus? Then you're going to have everlasting life. Well, this is a spiritual matter, you see. A lot of people cannot understand this. Jesus himself said that in verse 63, "It is the spirit that quickeneth," that means makes you alive. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." He speaks spiritual words to you, and they are life-giving. So when he says to you, "Nobody, no man comes to the Father except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, you and I are going to die someday. I know you don't think you will if you're probably in your 30s, 40s, 50s, or so forth. But I know I'm going to someday. But I believe I'll be drawn up again. I'll be raised at the last day. Now, this seems to be impossible. It seems to be impossible that we'll be raised up at the last day. But after all, with God, all things are possible. Jesus said that too, you know. With God, all things are possible. We're not afraid. We're not afraid of the giants that oppose us. Who are they? Who are these men? They're long gone. The Lenins, the Stalins, the Hitlers, they're all gone. Look what happened to them. I mean, they came on the world scene and they're out. They're fluttering. They're gone. And you, dear friend, if you've been drawn by God, if you've been chosen by God, now notice I didn't say that you chose him. He chose you. Why did God choose you? Well, we'll get into that in just a minute. You probably have your questions on that. You don't understand it. Now, some of you that have a big will, a big ego, I'm not sure you're of Christ Jesus. Oh, yeah, I can understand why he chose me. I'm brilliant. I'm unique. Well, compared to God, you know, he could pick disciples from stones, make them into marvelous human beings. Yeah, he actually could. That's what John the Baptist told the rabbis and the others who came to him for baptism. "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then he said, "You're not so special. Just because you're a Jew, that doesn't make you special. If God wanted to, he could have disciples from these stones." Now, a lot of people like to think that they're special because men think well of them. Maybe that's it. Maybe God chose you because he knew people were going to speak well of you. Isn't that it? Isn't that it? Maybe that's why. I mean, maybe you were going to become a President Obama, or you were going to become a famous leader, or a military leader, or you were going to do something someday. Now, if you think that, well, you've got another thought coming. God doesn't need you for those reasons. In fact, when men speak well of you, that's when you're in trouble. I always look around and I always find out the men who are in real trouble. I'll go to Newsweek, I'll go to Time, and they'll be saying good things about this pastor, that preacher, whatever. He's the newest thing since Billy Graham or whatever. I go, man, that guy's in big trouble. He's in big trouble. In Luke 6, it says, "Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophet." And you know they did to that to Jesus too. They sang hosannas. 5,000 came for his Sermon on the Mount. Oh, he was a big star. And just a few years later, they wanted to crucify him. No matter what happened, no matter what they were told, Pilate said, I don't even find any, the Roman governor said, I don't find anything wrong with him. They cried out even the more, crucify him. Pilate said, would you have me crucify your king? They got even madder. They got angry. Crucify him. So he brought out some water and washed his hands and said, I'm not guilty of this innocent man, of his blood. It's on your heads. You're responsible from now on. So they said, okay, good. It's on our heads and on those of our children and their children. We'll take the responsibility. And they did. You know, the interesting thing about this verse is when I became a Christian at age 16, I didn't know what God was going to do with my life. I didn't understand. I didn't know. I didn't become a Christian with all these questions in my mind saying, well, now, what am I going to do now? And what fate does God have for me? And what happens now? I just said, God, I want you to please take my life. And he did. The thing is, God arranges for you in advance every minute, every step, every rendezvous, every divine appointment. Notice I said divine appointment. You think you don't have them? You've got them. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord. And now I realize this. I say, well, everything's going to work together for good. If the IRS audits my books, well, that's for good. If the FBI comes to visit me, that's for good. If I get arrested for something I didn't do, that's for good. If they throw me in a prison cell, if they incarcerate me, that's for good. Now, it doesn't mean that it's a good thing, but it will work out for good. You wait and see. Remember when they took Peter and they beat him because he was preaching Jesus? That wasn't good, was it? When Jeremiah was beaten, that wasn't good, was it? But Peter was beaten and he said, I'll do whatever God tells me to do. If God tells me don't preach Jesus anymore, I won't preach him anymore. But, you know, whatever God wants me to do. So, obviously, God wanted him to keep preaching Jesus. In Psalms 23 is a very wonderful series of verses. He leadeth me to lie down. He restoreth my soul. God takes care of you. The steps of a righteous person are ordered by God. I used to think about that. and I would try to arrange my steps. I would say, well, I need to be organized. I need to, and you know, I don't arrange my steps very much anymore. And they're arranged for me. There's things I have to do. There's people that come into my life. I do them. I do certain acts. But I don't have to plan them so much. I don't have to work on them. Miracles come into my life every day. And I'm not special, not by any means. In the New Testament says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now get this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 verse 10. I want you to think of that verse just a minute, dear friends. You are his workmanship. You're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He has made you a certain way, made your mind, made your heart a certain way unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I thought about that verse a long time. Think about that. Which God hath before ordained. He's already got things ready for you. When you wake up in the morning, he's got a divine appointments. You may say, well, I didn't see anybody yesterday. I just went to work and this or that happened and I went home and, oh, you didn't see it? You didn't see that young 17-year-old boy looking at you? Saying, is that the way I should act as a Christian? You didn't realize, dear Christian sister, that a young woman was looking at you, seeing how you would respond to a certain thing? Maybe she was testing you. Maybe she seemed like a very, very wicked person. And she was testing you. Did you pass the test? This is what God does. We have to pass the test. And sometimes we don't even realize it's a test. We don't know that we are to be tested. But God has arranged a test for us.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.